The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter. The disciples of John reported all these things to Jesus, and John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptizer has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" In that hour, Jesus healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight. And he answered them, "Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind," like a fanatic. "What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by John. "To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like?" Jesus asks. "They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep.' For John the Baptist came, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." In the name of Jesus, amen. Most of the time, this place is empty, as it should be. The church gathers to be fed and then scatters into their lives of individual mission and ministry, where you actually have the opportunity to touch lives that no one else in this congregation can. And if you're like me, you can tell this time of year that there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of anxiousness. Now, I don't think anxiety has an off season, right? I mean, there are things across your life and my life that have no season to them. They just keep knocking on the door saying, "Hello, I'm here." And then the temptation to become very, very anxious is there. And so it's a challenge. I mean, you hear the news, listen to what's going on. And man, there's a lot to be anxious about. In fact, I'm a little anxious. We're moving this next week, and I decided to get sick. So pray for me. Can I give that gift to you? That gift of anxiousness? Because that's really what I'd like you to do for me. I have a few lined up to help me move, and that's all I need. But pray for my family. You know, moving can be kind of an anxious time. So pray for me. Can I give you that gift? Thank you. You know, our sermon title is rather interesting, Giving the Gift of Anxiety. It's not necessarily easy for us to think that anxiety is a gift anybody wants, let alone something we just say, here, I want to give you my anxiety. It all depends on who you give the gift to the most. It's hard to hear what the Apostle Paul said in his letter to the church in Philippi, his letter to the church in North Texas. He said, rejoice in the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. What? You got to be kidding me. I can be anxious about all kinds of things during the course of a day. What do you mean, be anxious for nothing? See, here's the deal. Anxiety is not a bad thing, as long as we learn how to manage it in the ways God would have us manage it. But if we take anxiety and we blame it on everybody else, or we live in denial, which is like the gateway drug to all kinds of problems, or if we decide to take care of it with chemicals of some kind or another, whether it's prescribed or brewed, then we're not handling our anxiety very well, and it's not a gift. It really is hurting us. But it's hard for us to think about how anxiety can be a gift, starting with the one who's getting anxious. But anxiety is a part of your world and my world. Now, some of us aren't as anxious as others, but no one has mastered it here. And there are things in your life and my life where certainly we've learned the ropes. Okay, I can handle this time. But there are things that happen in your life and my life that every time they happen, they take us from 0 to 500 miles an hour in no time. It's like, really? I mean, I can't figure this out. I've been here before, but it still jerks me around the same way it always has. The answer is, yeah. There's a lot of things in your life and my life that do that. There's still a gift if we understand how to treat that gift. And it's using the prescription from the Apostle Paul. This isn't a suggestion. It's a prescription. This is what Paul expects his church in Philippi and his church by his namesake in North Texas to consider. It's powerful. How did it go? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. You know, he's in prison. Not a very good situation for him. And yet he's seeing, even incarcerated, how he's getting the gospel to people. Even people in the guard, the Praetorian Guard, they're hearing and they understand that it's been a conspiracy and that's why he's incarcerated and he's able to tell them the truth of the gospel and it's changing lives. So if anybody can, from a realistic point of view, say, no, rejoice, it's Paul. See, the option is not good. When we're anxious, well, how about it? When you're anxious, do you just blow up? Invite everybody else to your anxious railings? Is that any kind of gift to give? How many ways does that happen? And it's hardly a gift when we do it that way. It's called sin. It's called rebellion from God. It's called rejecting him. How many of you are tired of giving that kind of a not so great gift to the people around you? Amen? So what do we make of this anxiety? It's an interesting word. It literally means to bounce back and forth between a couple of things. Mary Manao, it means to worry. It means to have this battle inside of you. So the first person you're dealing with is you. And you're letting the anxiety rev you up or hurt you. The challenge is to say, no, okay, Stace, here, I've been here before. I need to give this to the Lord. See, it's not an issue of what you're going to do with anxiety. It's only an issue. Well, it's not whether or not you're going to face anxiety. It's only a question of what you're going to do with it. And here's the deal. Wrap it up and give it to Jesus. Anything and everything. Wrap it up and give it to Jesus. How does Paul say it? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Yeah. This issue makes me anxious. I wanted to somehow figure out a way to say it at the voters' meeting. It's nice to see how we're having conversations. Do you know that church families have to have family meetings? Right? And the idea with family meetings is to serve faith and not just anxiety. If in my conversations, I mean, I've had all kinds of family meetings in North Texas, haven't I, Max? And the goal with my family that's all getting really, really intelligent and big and all grown up is to serve faith. There are issues that have to be dealt with. I'm anxious about them. Others are anxious about them. But we need to talk about them in such a way that we don't create a harmonic that keeps them going in the same old way, but actually we give them to the Lord so that we can be back at a less anxious position with each other. You know, some families are just anxious. They're not talking about things. They're not sharing the gift of anxiety with each other, saying, pray for me. It was nice to see us work through our process here as a family. And you know, majority rules, so sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but your vote counts and you have a chance. The only challenge is if you don't talk about things so that you can learn how people feel. Our kids last night had a lot of different activities. It was really fun. And I handled the children's church and told the stories. And then Kate, my daughter, handled the movie. And the movie was a VeggieTale movie. And it was The Little Drummer Boy or something like that. And, you know, it was pretty real. You know, it's good to have, you know, real discussions with kids even when they're little. And Kate found herself having to explain the kids, you know, because they would get anxious. What's going on? When my kids were little and we were watching something on TV, sometimes they would just run right out of the room. I'm thinking, wow, that's making them anxious. Let's talk about it. You know, I thought it was pretty cool. They're anxious. Go figure. But doesn't that happen in your life and my life? There are things that I'm at peace talking about, and you, all I do is spike you up through the orbit going, why is Pastor talking about that? For Bolton, someone tell him. But it's fascinating. So the kids were watching the movie last night, and they were getting anxious, and Kate was kind of walking them off the edge. No one ran out of the room. The door was shut. And she kept having to do that on some of the more heavy parts. And then they were okay. Now, we're not watching VeggieTales, I would dare say, all of us, but we're watching things before our eyes that can be just as challenging and just as real. Okay, give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus. Give the gift. Lord, I got to give this to you. And I'm so thankful that I can give it to you. I can't give it to my family. I can't give it to anybody else. When I give it to other people, it just stresses them out. How did Paul say it? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God, I'm a hurting unit. God, I got to give you this anxiety. Lord, how am I supposed to talk with my spouse or my kid or my neighbor or the guy at work or someone at church? And maybe God will teach you just to say, admit you're anxious. I talked with someone this last week, and it really blessed me. They said, yeah, we're anxious. I said, thank you. Sometimes I say to people, look, I'm anxious. And I just tell them, I'm anxious. I'm anxious. Pray for me. Or let's pray right now. I was so anxious at the first service about my hands that I washed them before we had communion. Yes, your pastor is a germaphobe. It's not working so well right now, but you know, so, you know, the things that make us anxious are oftentimes the things that we really care about. They are gifts. It's just that we're not processing them well with our converted nature that still wants to go in sinful ways. And so it's a matter of saying, okay, I'm anxious about this, Lord, but I'm sure glad I can talk to you about it. I'm going to lay it out before you. And that way, when I talk about it with other people, maybe I won't be so much on the edge, and maybe they won't. But don't think for a minute that when you have peace, that necessarily others will have peace. They got to own their own processing. And of course, if you see that they're anxious, just say, I'm praying for you. We can work through this together. You know, even our Lord was anxious at times. You know, there was a there's a place in the gospel where he says, man, I'm just set on going to Jerusalem. Would that it would happen. Would that I bring down fire. And then, Father, take this cup away from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will. He talked about stuff. How many times in the gospel do we see Jesus going away to just pray and talk with the Lord? And then he completed everything necessary. What's really cool about that completion is now it's at work in us. And Paul says it this way, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we try to get peace of mind. And then we realize, my goodness, if it isn't one thing, it's another thing. I need more than the peace of mind. What's cool is this is the peace of God. The peace that is God's nature, that the cross has established for us. And that peace is guarding, how does he say it? Will guard your hearts. You know where you feel, in your minds where you think, in Christ Jesus. So who's guarding you? The peace of God. And where it's not working so well for you, tell the Lord. It's not working so well. I'm stressed out about, only because I care a lot and I want things to be solved. I needed to talk with people so I can give them the gift of my anxiety and have them help me so that I can live in faith and not just anxiousness. But when I'm anxious, I can give that gift to people who will pray for me and receive my gift in faith and help me address it in faith and not just with more anxiety. Gosh, our world is anxious, man. But we have a foundation that's been established in our hearts and minds that we can fall on and stand on and draw strength in by talking with the Lord about all things that makes us anxious. You know, that gift can be given whenever you need to give it. So give it and see what the Lord will do. And share your anxious thoughts with people who will promise to pray with you and pray for you. Maybe as soon as you say you're anxious. Share the gift. The gift that the world is running away from. The gift that the world is denying. And see what God can do in opening up new doors and new ways. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, amen.